Hello and welcome to Healed and Restored. I'm your host, Elza Spady. I never tire of saying that we all have a story and that each of our stories matter. They matter to God and they matter to those who love us. But most importantly, our stories have an immense power to inspire and give others hope. By sharing our struggles and triumphs, we allow God to use us as His instrument in healing those around us. We become, in a way, wounded healers to one another. The worst part of suffering is not necessarily the suffering itself. The worst part of suffering is suffering alone. More than ever, we are awakening to the need for community in our lives. God made us to need one another and to live in community. And as we enter into this beautiful season of Advent that always comes with a lot of demands and festivities, we need to use caution and not forgetting that God gave us the Advent season for a reason. Advent is a time for preparation, and it is precisely in the waiting and preparing that we learn and grow the most. I pray that all of us will learn to disconnect from all the noise around us and sit quietly with the Lord so that we can best prepare ourselves to receive Jesus into our hearts and our homes in a special way this Christmas. On today's episode, my guest and I will discuss the need for community as you go through life's ups and downs. Jan Bojwani is a wife, mother, and has been a practicing obstetrician gynecologist in the Charlotte area for over 20 years. Jan is also a cancer survivor. We will talk about her faith, her family, and her community, and how all those three things was she relied the most on all those three things as she was walking that journey with her cancer. Jan is also one of the women that said yes to be a part of the board of directors for Healed and Restored, the nonprofit. Thank you, Jan, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elza, so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just thrilled to have you. I think we will have fun discussing this topic today. I know sometimes it's not easy to go back and talk about a hard time that we've had before, but I've learned that it's only through going back that we can reflect on how God was there for us.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
I agree. Yes, definitely.
And I think more and more people need to hear that. They need to hear that we've gone through it and we made it to the other side. So that way, if they're going through it right now, they can go, okay, there's hope for me.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yes,
so that's what this show is going to be about. So please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Plano, Texas, which is outside of Dallas. I grew up in a very close-knit Italian family with my parents and my younger brother. I went to Duke University, where I studied engineering. And while I was in college, my parents moved to West Virginia, so I went there for medical school to Marshall University. And then in 2000, I came to Charlotte to start my obstetrician gynecology training and have been here ever since. It was in my training where I met my husband, and we've been married almost 20 years. We have three great kids. My oldest is a senior and just turned 18, so he'll be going, I know you know that,
yes.
Going off to college next year. And then I have two daughters. Kira will be 16 a week from today and will be driving. And then my baby, Ella, is 12 and in the seventh grade. And we have two puppies, two dogs, and one spoiled rotten pandemic pup as well to round out the crew.
That's so cute. And then
I've been in practice with Atrium Health Eastover University OBGYN for 17 years. And I always say I have the greatest job in the world.
Yes, so. Of course you do. Of course you do. And what is the best part of that job, would you say?
Oh, I think that kind of everybody gets hooked really with the baby delivery. Yes. And I think admittedly, initially, that was, you know, what hooked me and that, sure. you know, being in that experience in the delivery room, especially with a patient that you've known for a long time. And I always say when the dad cries, that always gets me. Oh, the dad I cries, bet. I'm crying.
I bet.
But for me, really, the best part has been now I have patients that we've gone through like all of, you know, kind of life challenges together. You know, we had babies at the same time and then, you know, kind of going through struggles as our kids are growing older, as our parents are getting older. Mm. You know, obviously, you know, when I went through my cancer journey, other patients, you know, having to face those challenges as well. So, you know, for me, just kind of, you know, growing older with my patients, you know, it's
that's
just been
beautiful. That's your community,
yes,
right there.
It is. I mean, it's, I always say it's, you know, it doesn't feel like work when you just love what you do.
I completely agree. It doesn't feel like work when you love what you do. And I bet you an amazing doctor.
Oh, thank you.
I remember the doctor who delivered my firstborn, my Bella, who's going to be 18 in March. She was a lot like you, very kind, very gentle. And I had a wonderful experience with her. And then we moved and I had to get another doctor for the second baby and just never found someone quite like her.
Yeah.
I just remember that. Even my husband was like, oh my gosh, I mean, we're not going to have her again.
Yeah.
You know, so I thank you for your kindness. Oh. And I think that it's so nice to bring that into that room when you're having that baby and when you're screaming in pain.
Yes, you know? Yes. And that calming, yeah. You know. Yes,
want absolutely. Someone like you. Yes. Definitely. Well, before we go into today's topic, I get to ask you my favorite question.
Okay.
What was the best advice or wisdom you have received from someone in your life?
Wow. That's a great question. I've had, so much great advice over the years with raising my kids and work. But I would say the one that lately has resonated with me is something that my husband says a lot to us and the kids. And it's not his original quote. It's from Charles Swindoll, who's a Texas pastor who has written several books. And, you know, he says, you know, life is, you know, 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And I think that's really important because, you know, there's going to be bad things. We can't help that. That's going to happen. But our attitude, really how we respond and react to that, I think really says the most about us. And I think, you know, lately that's just really spoken to me.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that quote and I've heard it before. And I like that your husband makes a habit of that. You know, we all have little quotes that we borrow from people and we make a habit of it. And I think that is wonderful, because it's so true. But when we are in the middle of a situation, we tend to forget. You know, that doesn't define you. You're going to get past that, right? And if you have a good attitude, it's going to help you the most.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Get out of that slump,
yes.
Or that little, you know. Yeah. But so thank you for sharing that. I love that because I'm learning so much from each one of my guests every week. And I love the part of sharing people's wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because isn't that what life is all about?
Oh, absolutely.
You learn something great, you want to share it with someone else.
Yes, and you should learn every day if
exactly.
you can, right?
I mean, if we stop learning, I think we stop living.
No, I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So we always have to be open to learning more. So thank you for that. Talk about how you came to be on the board of Healed and Restored for a little bit, please.
Yes. So about a year ago, I received a phone call from our mutual friend, Catherine, and I adore Catherine. We've known each other. Our kids are all the exact same ages, and we've, you know, they've gone to school together. So I've known her for many years. And she called me and she told me about this new ministry she was a part of that she was very excited about and said, you know, I want you to read this book, Freedom Through Christ, that was written by my friend Elsa. And she said, can I put it in your mailbox today? And I said, of course. So I got the book and I read it all in one night and was super, you know, just inspired by your story and just it really touched me. And Catherine said, you know, do you think this is something you could help with? You know, just maybe from a medical perspective with programming or talks. Is this something you think you could do? And I said, sure, yes, I think so. And she said, well, now a bigger question, you know, do you think maybe you would want to be on the board? And the first thing I said is, I've never been on a board, so I don't know if I'm qualified. And she said, well, don't worry about that. Just think if this is something you'd want to do. And I remember going home and talking to my husband, and I said, you know, there's every reason right now for me to politely say thank you, but no thank you, because,
yes,
you know, we were healthcare workers in the middle of a global pandemic at this point, you know, figuring out, you know, what was going on with that, you know, the three busy kids. And at that time, you know, just our oldest was a junior in high school, and that's such a big year. And I said, there's every reason for me to say thank you, but no thank you. I said, but I want to say yes. I said, but I feel
that something was tugging at you.
I said, I feel I need to say yes. And my husband, who I hope you get to meet, I think you would love him.
Yes.
He is so great. And he said, well, then do it. Like, we'll figure out everything else. Like, of course, just, you know, do it if you're called to do it.
Oh, I love your husband already.
Yes.
He's a big supporter.
If you're called to do it, then do it. Like, you know, we'll figure out all the rest.
That was my second question, because I love hearing about how people decide on what you get involved in.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that that's how it happened for you, even though you had that inclination of saying no because you're being pulled in many different directions. Yeah. And rightfully so. I mean, you can see, we need to learn how to say no, you know, but again, I think you listen to that voice, that inner voice, it's the Holy Spirit kind of nudging you and saying, this is worth your while.
Yes.
And
yes.
Thank you for
yes.
that.
Oh, yes. Because and I think that, you know, for me, you know, specifically, you know, kind of speaking about this organization, really just tied in everything for me. One of just, you know, my life's work is about helping women, and certainly through happy times, but of course, unfortunately, also through times of trauma. And as you know, unfortunately, far too many women suffer from sexual abuse. So that's something I see in my practice, other traumas.
Yes.
So that part of it appealed to me. The second part is, you know, just going through at that point, I had been 1 year into my own breast cancer journey. And really, for me, you know, there's so many great organizations to get involved with breast cancer. And we do, you know, we're involved with Susan Komen. My husband was a pink tie guy for Laugh for the Cure, you know, the Go Gen Go Foundation to help, you know, women afford breast cancer care. So all of those things are wonderful and important. But I remember thinking, does it have to be just breast cancer? You know, just because I went through that, you know, can I help in other ways? And around that time, I was thinking about that really is when this opportunity came. And then the third reason, I think most importantly, is just the faith-based aspect of the ministry, because really that was something that has, you know, was really important to me as I went through my own journey. And so that, I think all of those things spoke to me really and gave me that, you know, inkling to say yes.
Awesome. I am so glad you said yes, because you're such a big addition to our group. And, you know, I thank you, and I thank God for planting that little seed, you know, and Catherine approaching you in the right way, and yes. She's amazing. She has been such a huge, huge help to me since the beginning.
Well, so far, you know? it's been wonderful, and I'm definitely very, very happy that I said yes.
Thank you, and I cannot wait to see where God's going to take us.
Yes,
you know,
I'm
excited for the next chapter, for us achieving our goals, and the goal is to have that house where we're going to have the women come in. It's going to be a residential program, and they'll find healing for body, mind, and spirit all under one roof. I dream of these homes. I cannot wait.
Yes, it's like you can picture it. When you describe it, you can picture it for sure.
And it's just beautiful. And I know that God planted this seed in my own heart to start this, because he knew he would make sure that this would come to fruition. You know, it's not all on us. We're just being used as his instrument. Yeah. And if we remember that, we don't need to stress out that we're trying to build this something so big as this, right? Because we know who the builder is. It's God.
Yes.
And he is little by little building this village around us. I feel like it's coming together beautifully just by the people that I have surround me. You know, with the board of directors, we have 8 amazing people, all with different gifts. It's just amazing. I couldn't have picked better people to be at my side right now. Yeah. So God is good. God is so good. We have to take our first break and we're going to come right back. Thank you.
The Carolina Catholic Parish Portal is now open. You'll find a section for your parish with contact info and easy access to your parish website, YouTube, and Facebook page. Check out your parish portal today at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org or the Carolina Catholic mobile app.
This is Tammy Harris. I am the founder and executive director of the Ursus Institute. We fight human trafficking both locally and abroad. I'm also a parishioner at St. Gabriel Catholic Church in Charlotte, as well as the Respect Life coordinator there. I urge you to check out my website, www.ursusinstitute.net, or to reach out to me personally at my email, tammy@ursusinstitute.net. Ursus is Latin for bear and is spelled U-R-S-U-S. And my first name, Tammy, is T-A-M-M-Y. We're involved in many operations right now, such as opening a transitional home for survivors in Western North Carolina. We're involved in a documentary about our work and about the realities of human trafficking, both locally and abroad. We're also giving input into anti-human trafficking legislation, involved in intel operations and rescue operations. There's many other things I'd like to share with you, and there's many ways that you can get involved. So I urge you, please text me at 704-519-7901, email me at tammy@ursusinstitute.net, or check out our website, www.ursusinstitute.net. And again, Ursus is spelled U-R-S-U-S. And please be assured that this human trafficking nonprofit works against trafficking in a way that is aligned with Catholic social teaching. Thanks for your time, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, I'm Jean.
And I'm Kathleen. Please join us every Wednesday at 5 for a brand new episode of our show, Joyful Echo.
We absolutely love sharing this time with you. It goes so fast.
Oh my goodness, yes.
We are so committed to praying to the Holy Spirit and seeing what He wants to do in all of our lives.
That's right. Sometimes we're sharing scripture. Sometimes it's something about the saints. When time permits, we will share lovely recipes.
Yes, Kathleen will, because I'm not the best at that lately, but we want you to join us. And if you're new out there and you've not tuned in at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, please come and join us.
Yes, and until then, we are praying for you.
See you later, ladies.
Hello, Carolina Catholic family. This is David Papandrea. Welcome to the beautiful season of Advent and the start of the Catholic Church's new liturgical year. Throughout December, I will share some of the plans we're developing for you in 2022. It is an ambitious plan, but one we believe will help bring Carolina Catholics closer together as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Diocese of Charlotte. Our mission and vision will continue to be driven by our commitment to showcase everything that's going on across our amazing Carolina Catholic community. Three of the unique advantages of Carolina Catholic Media are our ability to share events that are coming up before they happen, broadcasting events when they happen, and to provide encore on-demand programs that you can listen to after they happen. As you think about your year-end gift giving, please keep us in prayerful consideration. You're always welcome to contact me with your ideas, questions, and suggestions. Together, we can make an amazing impact as we evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church across the Carolinas.
Welcome back to Healed and Restored. I'm Elsa Spady, and today I have the pleasure of having with me today my good friend, Jen Bojwani. And her and I are going to be talking about how we need community, right, to go through all of life's ups and downs. She's going to take us back to a time in her life a few years ago where she had cancer. And thank you for one thing to come in and talk about this. I know it's not easy to do.
Yes, no, I'm happy to, obviously, this is a common occurrence with many women. You never think it's going to be you. Mm-hmm. For me, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in August of 2019.
Oh, wow.
And ironically, we were having probably one of the best summers of our lives, you know, just, you know, everything was great. We were having fun. Everybody's, you know, healthy. You're just thinking everything is great. And then I got the phone call that my mammogram was abnormal. And that's the problem when you're in healthcare and you know a little bit too much based on what was abnormal about it. You know, I was worried, and I knew my husband was too, because he said, I think I'll go with you. And so we both had that same worry based on, you know, the first reading. And sure enough, they the radiologist said, yes, I think we should do a biopsy. So I had a biopsy, and bad news does travel fast. So the very next day I was at work, you know, when I got the call, and, you know, I think I was just more shocked than anything.
I was going to say, what went through your mind then, especially being a doctor and knowing everything?
Yeah, I think it was shock, because I went and I finished seeing my patients that day. I saw patients all day, which, of course, looking back, I'm like, that was crazy. Yes. Yeah, that was not, but I don't think I really knew what to do, but just to keep doing what I was doing. And, you know, again, being in healthcare, I got right in. You know, it was funny, the surgeon's office called me before I got the results, so they felt terrible, but they said, you know, good news, we can see you on Monday. And I said, I guess it's bad news then, that I need to be seen on Monday. And so they felt terrible, but I was like, no, they were just really helping me, you know, to get going. So I met with my wonderful breast surgeon, Dr. Amy Voci, and she was fabulous. I met with her. There's, you know, always so many appointments in the beginning. You meet with the, you know, medical oncologist and the surgical oncologist and your radiation oncology team and the plastic surgeon. And
wow, so that sounds like a lot. It's
a lot going on. And then, fortunately for us, the next week we had a planned trip to celebrate my father-in-law's 80th birthday, an Alaskan cruise. And that was great. We were able to, you know, right after the diagnosis, kind of get away, be with family, you know, be in that, just that the glorious nature there, just, you know, that was really great. And then I wanted to get the kids, you know, kind of settled into school. So it was not till October 1st of 2019 that I had my bilateral mastectomy.
Okay.
The cancer was just confined to a small area of my breast, so I did not need radiation or chemotherapy. I'm on an anti-hormone treatment that I take every day for 5 years. And then in January of 2020 is when I had my reconstruction surgery. So at that point, I was kind of done. And ironically, that was when it really was the hardest time for me.
Really?
I kind of reached my, you know, the darkest time, because I think at that point, before you're just go, go, go. It's one thing and then the next thing, and you're just getting through and you're healing physically and you're just, you know, moving forward. And at that point I was like, oh, wow, I'm done. Okay. And then I really reflected back on everything I had been through. And really that was when I really hit you. Yeah. When it should have been, now I'm finished, great, but I was like, oh my gosh, that was a lot.
Well, you were too busy trying to take care of yourself and everything else to even think about what was going on.
Yeah, so that was difficult, and I was really trying to figure out how am I going to help myself, and certainly was ready to kind of get hooked up with therapy and what is the next step. And then we all know what happened in March of 2020, and, you know, the pandemic hit. And as much as that was, you know, globally, you know, catastrophic and just a horrible time, you know, for me personally, you know, it just allowed me not to focus on myself. I couldn't. You know, I had to figure out how we were going to deliver babies in this pandemic, and how I was going to figure out the kids learning from home.
Now you had a much bigger problem to worry about.
And so for me, as much as, you know, I mean, it just allowed me to focus on something else. And I realized over time that I can't worry about, is this cancer going to come back, or focus on that. I have to, you know, keep living and moving forward. And so that was, you know, that was actually, you know, helpful. It allowed me to do that by kind of focusing on other things that were going on.
That's good. I think that can be helpful. Of course, if you're always, you know, looking to stay busy to avoid something, it can be detrimental too. You know, you want to be able to heal and go there and get those feelings out and all of that. But I think you've done that also, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. I think, you know, just as you know, it takes time.
Yep.
And, you know, certainly not something that's, you know, can happen easily overnight. And I think for me, many different ways of kind of helping with that, you know, just being able to talk about it, pray about it, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of share this journey with other, so many other women, unfortunately, who've kind of come behind me and, you know, being able to be the person who's there for them. I love that my breast surgeon, you know, she can't, of course, with, you know, privacy, she can't tell her patients that, you know, about my cancer, but she'll refer them and say, I'm kind of an expert, which I'm really not, but because I went through it, you know,
you can talk the talk because you walk the walk.
And I'm very open with my patients about it. So I think that, you know, that, you know, it has helped
as
well.
That's a gift. I think that's a gift. Gift to you and a gift to your patients too.
Yeah.
Because now they can relate to you in a totally different
way. Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
It makes you a little more human.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thank you. And thank you for taking us back there. So I'm sure you had a lot of good support from your family and friends. Can you give us an example of how that community came together for you?
Yeah. So I always say that you really don't truly know how much you're loved till you go through something like this. Mm. And I think for us, I mean, it was, that was just, you know, wonderful. It's, you know, when you go through something like this, there's the people that you know that are going to be there, like the people you expect. But I love that the people that sometimes that kind of surprise you, you know, uh-huh. that kind of come out of left field. I have this one woman and it's just, I love her. She's another, you know, Italian. And she always says, I'm not a good day-to-day friend. I'm a terrible day-to-day friend, but I'm your crisis friend.
Aww.
You know, I'm your friend.
See, that's
gonna,
wonderful.
And her own daughter has had some health issues. So when this happened with us, she shows up with like this homemade, like sausage and meatball. Like we were planning a reunion. Like it was so much food, which, you know, the Italians, that's food is love.
Oh, yeah.
We grew up with that. That's definitely
Brazilian couch is the same way.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's just funny. Like it was people that you're like, okay, this is, you know, people that you don't expect. I mean, and of course, you know, my husband, he was my rock. I mean, you know, you can't lift your arms when you've had this surgery. Like you're just kind of, so, you know, he had to wash my hair, you know, 20 years of marriage.
He's never
washed,
right?
He's never washed my hair. He washed my hair. You know, he was, you know, certainly just a rock. My parents dropped everything and were just there for us. My mom is very squeamish. She's like a fainter. She doesn't like the sight of like blood or injury. And she learned how to change my drains. You know, drains that are, you know, there for weeks after a mastectomy. And I know she didn't want to do it really because I'm sure it bothered her, but she did it and she was really proud of herself.
Yeah, and her baby needed her.
Yeah,
you
so
know?
She did it. And, you know, so things like that. My kids were, you know, were amazing. You know, my work family, I was, like I said, I was at work when I got the call. And I remember my work partner, who's a dear friend, and we've been friends. He's the one that got me to come to practice. We trained together. He was in his office and I went over and I remember I was just shaking. I was just shaking.
Goodness.
And I went over and I told him and I'll never forget. I love him for saying this. He said, we're going to get through this.
Aww.
And I said, you know, that you said the we, I needed the we. I needed that we right then, you know, that I wasn't going to be alone going through this.
Because that's the worst part of suffering, as I said in the beginning. The worst part of suffering is not the suffering itself. We all suffer. But the worst part of suffering, any type of suffering at all, is when we don't have anyone to suffer with, when you don't have a community. And that I love that you said that. That he realized that, you know, by telling you that we're in this together, you're not alone.
Yes.
It lifted up a big...
It did, because really, I think after I called my husband and my parents, you know, that was the next person that was there and said, we're going to get through this. And of course, my... You know, work family took my call and saw my patients and my gosh, they were great. Because I was pretty open, as I said, you know, why I'm going to be out for six weeks. And I was telling them.
You can't really keep that from them if you're going to be gone that long.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was very open with it. And, you know, it was cute, you know, because some of them, you know, they felt comfortable. They had said, can I pray with you?
Aww,
and, you know, were giving me
wonderful
prayer cards. And I remember when it was cute one time when I was out, one of my patients, she was kind of knew what I was going on and was trying to get out of one of my partners, you know, how I was. And she said, you know, how is she? How was the surgery? And my partner was being very respectful and said, you know, I really can't say. And she just was really pushing her. And finally, my partner said, okay, I saw a picture of her on Facebook and she looked great. And so it was just cute because they, you know, they really cared. And,
yes.
And then I think really, you know, and then your friends, of course, I mean, gosh, your closest friends, they do everything. They bring you meals, they drive your kids, you know, they were fabulous.
That's wonderful.
And then, you know, I kind of combine it, church and school community, mm-hmm. you know, just really that, you know, that was wonderful. One woman who I didn't even know prior to this, we have a mutual friend, and she'd heard from the mutual friend what was going on with me, and she had been through something similar about a year before, and she made me this giant basket of all things that I would need after my surgery.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, the comfy blanket and the uh-huh. champagne to pop after treatment, and this cloth rosary bead.
Oh my gosh, because
she knew that I couldn't take, you can't take metal into the operating room. Aww. So she made me this cloth rosary bead to have.
That is, and so thoughtful.
You know, so these, like, you know, God winks of people that, you know, you never really would know or come yes. across, and you know, and so here she is, you know, this person in my life who, you know, is helpful.
I
and
love that.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that you sharing all of this with us, because we have to remember, you know, some people worry about things that are to come, right? I try not to do that. I always say one day at a time.
Yes.
My kids don't like to hear that because I say it a lot, one day at a time. But it truly, today's worries are enough. Right? But, and if we remember that God will provide for tomorrow, just like He provided for you when you were going through that tough
yeah.
walk.
Yeah.
He provided the friends, the family that all came together to help you, to kind of carry you through.
Yes. And another example of, we have a group of us that would meet every Friday to say the rosary at the Mary statue at the school.
Uh-huh.
And I was at one of the points of my, you know, along the way, you have to do an MRI and, you know, to make sure that there was no other disease. And
sure.
And I'm very claustrophobic. And if you've ever been in that MRI machine, it's, you know, it's very claustrophobic. So,
yes.
So I knew I had this MRI. And so I said to my two good girlfriends that always we meet to pray the rosary. And I said, you know, I'm going to be going into this MRI and I'm scared that I won't be able to get through it, because if you push the panic button, you have to start over. Like,
sure.
You're done for the day.
Yep.
And I said, I'm going to be, you know, praying while I'm in there. And they said, we will know exactly what time you're in that MRI machine, and we will be also praying the rosary. And you know, they did. And, you know, I made it through. And that was just one example, again, of just, you know, how my church community, mm-hmm. it was there for me in so many different ways.
They
that
came
I,
together yeah. for you, just yeah. like a village shared, right?
Yes.
I mean, we need each other.
Yes.
Yes. That's probably the worst part about this whole pandemic. Since the beginning, I felt like this was something that the evil one must be laughing and having a great time, because he loves to separate us.
Yes.
Isolate us from one another. You know, and there's still people that are very careful about getting together with other people. And I understand this in some cases, you know, they're high risk and all of that. But we need each other. We need each other so much.
I do say that if I had, if you know, that I was happy that I was done with my treatment before that, mm-hmm. because I do think that would have been, you know, definitely much more isolating.
Sure.
You know, certainly a lot would have changed. I can't imagine not having, you know, my husband in the hospital as I'm there, you know, sick
exactly.
after my surgery. So yeah, so that part of it was a blessing as well.
Because you had done that already,
right.
gone through the
right.
toughest of times already.
Yes.
Okay, we have to take one more break and we're going to come right back.
Carolina Catholic Radio is an important evangelization tool in daily life. Whether you're in your car, at work, or working out, it's a great time to learn, love, and live your faith. Catch the spirit. Prayerfully consider a tax-deductible donation today at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Carolina Catholic News. Are concerns of anxiety, loneliness, or depression plaguing you or a loved one during this time of uncertainty? Catholic Charities Diocese of Charlotte's Mental Health Counseling Program is available to help. The agency now provides telecounseling sessions, which means that more people across the entire diocese can access mental health counseling. Telecounseling is offered through an easy-to-use and secure HIPAA-compliant platform. People use their computer, mobile phone, or tablet to have a one-on-one confidential session with a counselor. The online sessions last about an hour and include the same quality and types of services as in-person counseling. Counseling is available to individuals and couples, and bilingual counseling sessions are also available. All mental health counseling staff possess a master's degree in either psychology, counseling, or social work, and are licensed to provide behavioral health care in North Carolina. Operating within the social teachings of the Catholic Church, they consistently provide professional, evidence-based therapeutic interventions in treating behavioral health problems, ranging from relationship, stress and adjustment problems, to acute and chronic mental illness. Services are provided on a sliding fee scale based on income and health insurance coverage when possible. Access to a computer is needed to receive these services. Go to CarolinaCatholicRadio.org, news section, for all the details. For the Carolina Catholic News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
Welcome back to Healed and Restored. I'm Elsa Spady, and today I have with me my sweet, nice friend, Jen Bojani, and that we are talking about the need for community, especially as we go through life's ups and downs. You know, she was talking about how her community really rallied around her when she was going through her cancer journey. And isn't that beautiful that God arranges for all of that for us?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's so true that he doesn't give us more than we can handle.
Absolutely.
You know, we're so afraid of suffering, but I think it's because the kind of society we live in right now, that they think the suffering is bad, or if we had if there was a God, because I've heard people say that, if there's a God, why do we have to suffer?
Right, right.
But people need to realize that it is through suffering that we get closer to God.
I agree.
You know what I mean? If life is all rosy all the time, we can go on and on without even stopping to thank Him.
Yeah.
And to, you know, pray more and all of that. So I do think that we learn more and we grow more through the difficult times. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I agree, for sure.
I mean, it's nice to have a season in your life where everything is going great. And, you know, and we all have had that. And right. You appreciate that and you should thank God for that. But I think we also know that in this life, we are going to have troubles. We are going to go through some difficult times, and it's okay. And I think that Jesus said, you know, don't worry about it. You will have tribulations, but I've already conquered all of that stuff. And I think that he said that not to scare us, but simply to prepare us. You know, there will be tough times, but I don't want you to over worry.
Right.
When those times come, I will be there for you.
Right next to you. Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And if we know that as Christians, Catholics, that we believe that God is here with us always, never leaves us, never, then we can rest assured that whatever comes our way, that we'll get through it with His help, and He will send the right people our way
right.
to walk that walk with us.
Right. You're never given anything that you can't handle.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I wanted you to talk about that, because I think that might be someone out there right now listening to us, or who's going to listen to this 2 years from now, maybe a woman who's going through that first shock of that diagnosis of cancer. What would you say to that woman when you look back where you were then and now what you know now after going through it? What would you say to that woman?
Well, I think the first thing is just take one day at a time. It's so overwhelming at first, and you really just don't know what to do with that. But once you have a plan in place, that's helpful. You know, then you're kind of set up, and I know I'm going to do this, then this, then this. And so once a plan is made, that things are better, you know, at that time. Second, accept all the help. You know, people want to help. I think they really, you know, they feel helpless because they're like, what can I do? And
exactly.
So, you know, they want to, you know, let them bring you dinner and let them drive your kids and let them pray for you and all the things that, you know, people want to do that. And so kind of allowing that help. And I think the third thing, this I would say this kind of rivals and maybe, you know, for my favorite advice that I was given that was from my own gynecologist, and she had gone through her own cancer journey. And what she told me really resonated with me. She said, allow yourself to grieve this, because I'm
that's good advice.
And I think even just knowing me a short time, I'm a very, you know, positive, optimistic person. You know, we did our Living Your Strengths, you know, positivity came up high. You know, I'm always like, look at the bright
side. I can tell, yes.
And I feel like for me, a lot of it, I was saying, well, it's just a small amount of cancer. At least I didn't have to have chemo. I'm so lucky it was caught early. And I was really putting that spin always on the plus and the, you know, looking
at you were undermining your suffering. And I think a lot of people do that. You have to acknowledge that you're going
through. And I think that, you know, what she allowed me to do, and I think that was part of my healing that I needed to do, was to say, you know, excuse my language, this sucks.
Yes.
You know, to say this is terrible.
This is not fun.
You know? She's like, you're okay to say I'm 47 years old and I have cancer. I'm 47 years old and I've lost both my breasts. Like, you know, it's okay to say that this is hard, and you don't have to say, oh, I'm lucky that it was just this. Better than not have it. You know, so I think that for me was really an important message. And again, I'm, you know, at the end, it's okay to look back and say, yes, I am fortunate that, you know, this mammogram caught this cancer early, and there's all that, you know, it's okay to have that. But for me, I needed to go through it's okay to mourn this loss, because it really was a loss. It was a loss of medical innocence. You know, I'm healthy. I'm a healthy person. And then you have this, you know, here's this diagnosis on your chart, and it's, you know, you look at it and say, oh yeah, that's me, cancer. And so I think that, you know, for me, I definitely needed to go through that and allow myself to, you know, to be sad about what happened and grieve that, but, you know, still come out on the other side of it. But I think, you know, the people that, and they mean well, you know, people mean well, but they're, oh, you're lucky. You get these new, you know, great, you know, and I'm like, I don't want that. You know, that's not, you know, and I think we'll try and mean well, but I was, you know, I needed to say, you know what, I need to kind of mourn all this, because it's not what I would have wanted. And yes, you can look back and say it has a happy ending, and what you learn from it, and all of those great things, which of course you do. But, you know, at the time I just had to say, you know, this is hard and I'm struggling. And
yes. And I think it's important to do that. You know, otherwise you're bottling this stuff up inside of you and pretending like this is nothing. This is huge.
Yeah.
This is a part of you that you had to let go of.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was. And I think that, you know, I think that part, that was probably the most important part for me to kind of get through it and heal. And, you know,
it's kind of like your identity a little bit. So,
yeah. And I think that's it too. Like, I thought, gosh, I don't want to be this, you know, I don't want to be known as this, you know, you don't want that to define you. But then you think, well, this is all part of who you are.
It's all part of
it. Know?
It's like, a chapter in your book. That's how I think we need to look at everything, right? I mean, everything is just an experience that you're going through. You're trying to get to the other side. It's a chapter in your book. It doesn't define you.
Right.
You know, you had cancer, but you survived it. You made it to the other side. Was it tough? It was. And I think it's a great advice to tell other women to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Don't try to cover it up.
Right.
You know, and pretend like what you're going through is nothing.
Yeah.
Because it is something. It's a big something.
Yeah. And there were times when people, I remember this, my brother, who I love dearly, I had just gotten my pathology result back. And, you know, initially my cancer was supposed to be stage 0. But when they got in, they found that it was invasive. And again, a small area, but still invasive, which definitely changes things and changes the prognosis. And, you know, he called and said, you know, can we talk? And I said, I can't talk right now. You know, I can't. And
it wasn't the right time.
It's okay to say that, you know, that right now I'm really struggling, and there'll be a time when I can talk and want to, and we'll pick up the phone, and, you know, but I think, you know, just it has to kind of be ready for that.
Yes. You needed your time to grieve from everything that you were going through, all the loss, all disappointment too, right? At that point of your life, you're like, now?
Yeah.
Life's so, you know, it's so nice right now and everything. Yeah. And now I have to deal with this. Obviously, those are the questions that we don't get answers.
Right.
You know? And I think God did it that way for a purpose, right? Because we can't understand why. you know, he has a higher purpose for everything.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think that I truly believe when we get to heaven, it's when we're really going to see it all, the whole picture.
Right.
So this is why. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is why. It's like watching It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, I love that movie. It's my favorite movie to watch during Christmas time because it really truly makes you realize how perfect God is and how each one of us is made for special reason and for a purpose. We all have a purpose. You know what I mean? And when you're going through something difficult, it's easy to forget that. That even though we're going through this difficult period, we still have a purpose. And when we get to the other side, little by little, God will show us what that purpose is.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes, for sure.
And would you say that you have grown in your faith through all of this, closer to God? And
yes. Oh, yes. I think that for sure. I feel like, you know, one of the examples I say, you know, when I got these cloth rosaries and from my friend, it was really important for me to have them. I was ready to be wheeled in for my surgery and it was going to be a 6-hour surgery. Mm. And I just said goodbye to my husband and he was a mess and he's never a mess. So that was hard. Mm. And then, you know, I said to my surgeon, and I don't know if she's religious or not religious or what faith, it doesn't matter. I said, I really want to have these rosary beads with me during my surgery, but I'm afraid I'm going to be asleep. I won't be able to hold them. And she said, then I will put them in my scrub pocket and I will operate on you with these rosary beads in my pocket. And,
that's,
you know,
beautiful.
So things like that, you know, I knew God was with me.
Yes.
I mean, and even if I didn't know, you know, really why at that time, like I just, you know, I knew, I mean, my kids, they would go to school every day and ask the class to pray for their mom. Like, you know, you feel all the,
there's beauty all around
you,
even though
prayers.
You're going through it.
You know, I felt that, you know, and I never had that of, oh, you know, why God or anger at God. I really mm-hmm. didn't, you know, because I knew, you know, he'll get me through this. I mm-hmm. did really feel that. And, you know, certainly, you know, felt that even more, you know, kind of coming onto the other side of it. So
that's beautiful. So yes, so you can say it just like I can say it now, that, you know, your scars, because that's a scar, that's type of a scar, right? Mm-hmm. Have gotten you closer to God, you know, and you can thank God for them. Yes. Right? Because as I look back in my scars, my deep scars of sexual abuse, for the longest time, I thought I was broken because of those scars, right? And God has shown me that it's actually the opposite. You know, he will do something beautiful with the scars.
Yeah.
You know, and I've learned to thank God for my scars. Yeah. And I think that you're at that point, too, where you understand it's all for God's glory. You know, it's for your own. Of course, God doesn't want us to get sick, right? But he allows it for a higher purpose. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And I think that's what, you know, at first when you're really trying to figure out, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this? You know, what is this for? Is this for me to be a better doctor? Is this for me to be, you know, a better mother, a better, you know, what is it? You know, trying to figure out what can I do with this? Because you do feel, once you get through the other side of it, called to say, you know, what can I do? And there has to be a uh-huh. reason that I went through this. And, you know, how now do I, you know,
there's more than one reason. I always think there's more than one reason. I think he shows you as you are ready to see. One thing I see in my own life is that when you've gone through a lot of stuff and you've suffered much, you can recognize another suffering soul.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about compassion that comes from the heart that you would have with the woman now who's going through that, you know, a cancer treatment that comes to you. There's something about that that I can't give to that woman. Only you can, mm-hmm. because you walk that walk. So, yes, I think that you will learn that he wants you to use that as now a tool to help others who are going through that. And if it's just a hug and saying, I'm sorry, and I'm here for you, and I know what you're going through. And they understand that you actually do know.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people say, oh, I know what you're going through, but they haven't really gone through.
Right.
So we all need people around us that can be, you know, that can be a guide, that can give us hope. And I think you're going to be one of those. You already are. You know what I mean? So thank you for that. We're going to take our last break and we're going to come right back. Thank you.
Carolina Catholic Radio is your local EWTN parish and community connection, bringing you local news and information from over 100 parishes in the Charlotte Diocese and Rock Hill Oratory. Catch the spirit. Prayerfully consider a tax-deductible donation today at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Hello, this is Carolyn Klicka, relationship coach with Abounding Joy, a new feature on Carolina Catholic Radio. Our marriage and other relationships are so important to our peace and happiness. Are you struggling with conflicts that just continue to escalate? Are you dealing with anger, fear, or just feel like you need to find new solutions? I'll share some godly principles on how you can resolve relationship and inner conflicts, create agreements, and move into the peace and joy that God wants for you. Discover greater freedom and healing through insights about the truth of who we are and what God is asking of us. Join me daily for 2 minutes of insight and encouragement for your heart and your relationships. This is Carolyn Klicka with Abounding Joy. Visit me at AboundingJoyMinistry.com. Listen in and discover why today I choose joy.
If you had the chance to sit down for 10 minutes with the world's greatest teacher, would you take it?
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
If you said yes, you're in luck. Go take out your Bible, and you can spend 10 minutes or even more with the Spirit of the living God. Who is a better teacher or greater expert than the Holy Spirit? In his rule, St. Benedict sends us to the Bible every day, and it's free. 2 Timothy tells us, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness. If we truly believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, what holds us back from turning to it each day?
For your free copy of the Rule of St. Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com, oneminutemonk.com.
If we truly believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, what holds us back from turning to it each day?
Hello, Carolina Catholic family. This is David Papandrea. Welcome to the beautiful season of Advent and the start of the Catholic Church's new liturgical year. Throughout December, I will share some of the plans we're developing for you in 2022. It is an ambitious plan, but one we believe will help bring Carolina Catholics closer together as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Diocese of Charlotte. Our mission and vision will continue to be driven by our commitment to showcase everything that's going on across our amazing Carolina Catholic community. Three of the unique advantages of Carolina Catholic Media are our ability to share events that are coming up before they happen, broadcasting events when they happen, and to provide encore on-demand programs that you can listen to after they happen. As you think about your year-end gift giving, please keep us in prayerful consideration. You're always welcome to contact me with your ideas, questions, and suggestions. Together, we can make an amazing impact as we evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church across the Carolinas.
Welcome back to Healed and Restored. I'm Elsa Spady, your host, and today I have my friend Jen Bojani here, and we are talking about the need to have community as we go through life's ups and downs. And more than ever, we can see how much that is a part of us. It's who we are. We can't live alone. We can't suffer alone, you know. And as you talked about all the people that kind of surrounded you with love and support as you were going through your journey, you know, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
You know, that even though you're going through something very difficult, and you obviously you had your times when you were alone and you had your turmoil going on inside of you, but you knew you were loved.
Yes.
You knew you had people that care about you, and you knew, most importantly, that God loved you, mm-hmm. and He was the one that was putting all those people around you to help you.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So that's the beauty of having the faith, of understanding that without our faith, we are nothing. You know, we can't do anything. We're powerless. And I thank God that I have my faith, and I feel like you feel the same way.
Oh, yes.
And I always feel bad for people that don't have a faith and go through difficult times. I can only imagine how much harder that is.
No, I think you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, yes, it's hard to suffer. It's hard to go through all these ups and downs of life. But when you know that God is there and He loves you and He will get you through this and He will provide for you, it's a game changer.
Yes.
It changes everything. Now you're not alone. You have God, yeah. and you know that He will provide the people that you need, your support system.
I can't imagine, you know, going through without
I can't either. I think that that's why we see what we see in our world today. So mm-hmm. much hurt, so much pain, and so much division, and just so much brokenness, right? Mm-hmm. Because people are looking within themselves to find joy, to find happiness, to find healing. And you can't. You have to look outside of you. You know, we're not going to find all that stuff inward. It's going to God and then letting Him come in and heal us and walk with us. It's basically bringing everything to the foot of the cross and saying, I'm sure you had days where you were like, I can't take this, Lord. Yeah. Take it from me.
Yeah, for sure.
And He did.
Yeah.
He lifted up for you.
Yeah.
He was there to lift you up when you couldn't handle it.
Yes.
That's the beauty of a relationship with Christ, you know, and that's what changes everything, I think. Any final thoughts we'd like to add?
Well, just wanted to thank you, Elza. Thank you, not just for having me here today, but for introducing me to the ministry, the Healed and Restored. I think, you know, for me, community, as we talked about, got me through one of the most difficult times of my life. And, mm-hmm. you know, I now want to pay that forward. And I'm so excited about what we can do and who we can help, and really just really looking forward to this next chapter of all the people that hopefully we can help through this. And you know, again, I just want to use everything I've been through and say, what can I do with this, God? And I think this is one of the things and that I'm really excited about.
Oh, thank you. And I'm excited to have you on board. Community is everything. And when I look back when I was in my 20s, and you read my book and I talk a lot about that, my 20s was filled with turmoil. Yeah. I did not have a community to help me. I felt very alone in my pain. And that's one of the reasons why I am so fire up for this, because I want those 20-year-olds that are going through what I went through not to have to suffer alone. We're going to be there for them.
Yes.
And that's going to make all the difference, because like I said, the worst part of suffering, I truly believe it's not the suffering. It's suffering alone. Yeah. And if we can just be a beacon of light for all these women, you know, young and old, because we're going to have different stuff for older women too, you know, a Saturday retreat. Because a lot of women, even though, and I've been contacted by so many different women in their 40s and 50s, they've gone through something traumatic. They thought they were over, but they're realizing that they're not. They never truly healed from it. You know what I mean? So I would love for us to have something also geared towards those women, that they can come in and have a date retreat and try to get to the root of it and try to bring everything to the light of Christ and help them and guide them to that transformational healing. You know what I mean?
Right.
That it's a healing that will keep on going. It will keep on passing on. You know, because I think that's what God desires, is that once we find healing, we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. It's like when the Bible part that talks about when He healed, was it 10 lepers, and only one of them turned around to thank him.
Yes.
Okay, think about that. Think about that.
But I think that shows, if, like you said, if you just help one person, then you know that's enough.
Exactly, and that will keep going. That will keep going. That person will help someone else. It's the pay and forward type of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I feel this is very much my time to pay it forward. I feel very blessed to be where I am on the other side of the trauma, to have the support that I have with my wonderful husband, three children who are very supportive of everything I'm doing, everything that God's doing, right? Because it's not me doing. So who am I not to use this, you know, to for his glory and to help other people?
Right.
I can't think of anything else I could be doing right now with my life that would be more worth my while.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, and I'm just so happy that you are on board with us.
Yes.
You're amazing.
Yes.
And just, again, compassionate. That I look at the people that God has brought together to help me, and I see with each one of you how much compassion you have. And you have this heart that's full of love to give. And let me tell you, that is going to be huge once we have a home for these young women. Mm-hmm. Once you get to come in and meet them, and they can see Christ's compassion through you. You know what I mean? And they can, because I tell people what most of us really just need and want and desire is to be loved through our brokenness.
Yes.
And that's the problem I see a lot right now. People want, that's too much to handle. I don't want to deal with that. And they walk away from someone who's hurting.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they don't have what it takes. Well, we don't have what it takes alone. You have to go to God first. He fills you up with what you need. And then you go on and pass that on. You know what I mean? So to me, it's so important to heal and restore. That's going to be one of the pillars. It's like just compassion and love. So we can show them. Because most people that have gone through different trauma, especially abuse of any type, what I found is that they have a hard time trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a hard time, even some of them even believe that there is a God, because they go through all of that, like, well, if there is a God, why would he allow this to happen? So at Healed and Restored, we're going to try to love them where they are, and with that love and compassion, walk them back into Jesus's arms,
right.
You know what I mean?
Because they have to be ready for that.
Exactly,
yes,
exactly. We're not going to force it on them, but we're going to guide them in that route, you know, because it is, I truly believe that Jesus is the only true healer. We cannot be healed by ourselves. We cannot be healed by medication alone, by counseling alone. That's all good and fine, but if we don't learn how to bring our brokenness to the foot of the cross, we're never going to find the type of healing that would last a lifetime.
And I think that's what's so appealing about the ministry, at least to me, you know, combining all of that, the, you know, and including that spirituality and faith, you know, as well, which I think is really important and really makes it stand out from other, you know, other similar.
I think that was the whole reason why God chose me, because I feel like he knew I would understand that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because when I started doing some research about programs like this around our area, right away that stood out. None of them brought Christ into it. So I knew right away that whatever God wanted me to start, it had to be grounded in him.
Yes.
And everything else will follow. We just follow and it fall into places. So, well, thank you again for being here today. You are just such a joy to be around. I would love to have you again sometime.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Definitely,
and thank you for letting
me
share my story. And I really appreciate that.
Your story is a beautiful story. And you tell it so well. And I know that someone listening to us is going to resonate with them, and they're gonna know that this too shall pass, and they, God will get them through it. So thank you for sharing your story.
Welcome.
I like to end my show with a few questions and a Bible verse as an invitation for my listeners to go deeper into today's episode. And here are the questions for this week. If you are going through any type of difficulty right now, either physically, mentally, or spiritually, remember how you are not supposed to suffer alone. Are you ready to reach out to a family or a friend in a community for help? Please don't ever get into that state of mind that you think you have to do it all on your own and you have to suffer alone. Allow other people to come in and help you, because it's so important. Just like you heard from Jen, it's very important to allow your family, your friends, your community to take care of you, to help you, right? And question number two, how can you rise above the noise of the world and spend more quiet time with the Lord this Advent season? Very important. We are all bombarded with so much right now, but we have to remember this is a season of preparation to receive Christ into our homes, into our lives, and we need to take that time daily to spend time in prayer. So remember that. And the scripture verse for today is from Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I love this verse because, again, he's telling us, don't worry about what's to come. Don't worry about when you're going to go through difficult times. I will be right there with you. Okay? Thank you for listening. And until next time, God bless you and your family. Take care. Bye-bye.